Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
The issue of accountability, I started talking about that, of course, a little bit earlier with regard to government and vaccine rollouts and the role of the media. I think these are important conversations. But another aspect of it is policing of the police. I'll never forget a couple of years ago, somebody I know came visiting from Israel, and they went on a drive, and they were out somewhere in the bush because they had gone on what they called safari, and on the way back they were pulled over by the police for speeding, and they were told that they could just pay a bribe. The couple felt obviously quite afraid and then paid the bribe and came back. They were very shaken by the experience, and the comment that that they made is, if this is what the police are doing, then who is looking after the citizens of the country? And it was quite a stark way of thinking about it, because that is, of course, the role of the police. Joining us on the line is Kavisha Pillay, head of stakeholders and campaigns at Corruption Watch. A very, very good morning. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me today.
So it's really a terrible problem, because we want to associate the police with goodness and morality and everything that represents law and order. And in many cases, it is that way. There are many, many stories of very good things around the police force, but that isn't always the case. Sometimes things go wrong. What do we do then?
I mean, I think that you're correct, and you know, when you were giving your sort of intro into this, in terms of, if you look at the bigger corruption and crime problem in the country, it's very difficult for us to be able to deal with that when the institutions that were set up to do so, to fight corruption and crime, are they themselves corrupt, or that they run with their sort of deep criminal syndicates within the law enforcement agencies.
Right.
So it becomes very difficult to address, you know, the broader issues of, for example, what's going on at state-owned enterprises, or, you know, the larger crime problem in the country, because these institutions are sort of essentially very crippled. And that is why, you know, at Corruption Watch, and I think a lot of other civil society organizations, are dedicating a lot of time and effort into fixing up our criminal justice institutions. Because if we do that, it means we could potentially start to see a shift in corruption that's taking place in other, you know, in other sectors of society.
Mm. Did we realize just how bad some of these institutions were, and in terms of corruption, you know, the, whether it was the NPA or the police, we had definitely seen this corruption infiltrating into all elements, which made it a tremendous task, or makes it a tremendous task to win back.
I mean, you know, if you look at the sort of analysis of, in terms of, you know, from the state capture era, you know, some of the first institutions to be captured or to fall were actually our criminal justice institutions. And that makes sense, because if you weaken mm-hmm. those institutions by, you know, appointing compromised leadership, by making sure that there's sort of impunity, that, you know, there's no accountability and no oversight, it means that you essentially render those institutions defunct, and then that's what allows for other, you know, corruption to take place in other sectors, and then you know that there'll be no accountability. So, you know, you essentially break the wheels of justice, you know, by targeting, you know, these criminal justice institutions first. I mean, I think the other thing that we have to understand is, you know, in terms of policing in this country, I think there's always been a distrust of policing in South Africa, going back to sort of pre-1994.
Right, and for very good reason.
Precisely. Mm. And, you know, I think that there's this massive public distrust between, there's this massive distrust between the public and police, and that hasn't been fixed, you know, even in a sort of democratic South Africa. And then when you start to hear these, you know, stories of rampant bribery, which we hear at Corruption Watch almost on a sort of weekly basis.
Mm,
or
mm.
even, you know, the sort of issues of police brutality, and what we saw last week with that student being killed by the police at the BIT protest. You know, you can see that that relationship between the public and police is really disintegrating. And that's where we need to start to fix that, and we need to improve that in terms of, you know, reducing that imbalance of power that exists between the public and the police. And one of the ways that Corruption Watch is trying to do this is we've recently launched a tool called the VESA online tool, which you can access at www.vesa.org.za. And essentially what this tool allows the public to do is there's six features. The first is that you can report any incident of police corruption or misconduct in the country. And it allows you to geolocate. So, you know, if you are pulled over, say, at a busy intersection in Johannesburg and you are asked for a bribe, you can actually locate where this incident happened. And then that leads to the next sort of feature, because now we're able to see where the hotspots of police corruption that have taken place, you know, across certain cities and provinces and as well as nationally, you know, just through information that the public are giving us. The third thing, and this is quite important, is that you're now able to access information about your specific police station. So apart from just its contact details and its locations, you know, who is your station commander? What is the resources of your police station? How many vehicles does it have? Mm. What is the population that it serves? What is its budget? And that's also important in terms of understanding if your police station is well equipped to deal with the crime problem that you're experiencing in your community, and if it's well equipped to sort of serve the population within your community.
Mm.
The fourth thing is you can access information about your rights. If you've been pulled over as a roadblock and somebody asked for a bribe, we give you all of that information. So there's a whole sort of library there. And then you can also rate your police station, you know, based on its communication and feedback and response time and assistance. And that again will tell us which are the best performing police stations versus the worst. And the last thing is that you can also nominate an ethical and honest officer, because we know that whilst there is this sort of rampant corruption problem, there's many good police officers who risk their lives on a daily basis just to keep our community safe, and it's important to acknowledge them.
You know, what I found quite disturbing was yesterday we were driving. I was driving somewhere with my wife, and there was a massive roadblock. And we weren't pulled over, but they were pulling over an extensive amount of cars. And you saw people that had, I don't know, that like caravan thing. It was clearly about fines and things like that. And my overwhelming emotion was, oh, here we go. It's just about money. It's just about collecting. And as a responsible citizen, and I really do pride myself in that, my own reaction was quite disturbing, because it should have been great. You know, we're checking for licenses, we're making sure people are compliant, but that wasn't my feeling. And my immediate response was negative, and that it was about money. How do we change that? How do the police go, or the JMPD, how do they go about changing the perception that we have, but we don't want to have?
Yeah, I think that's something that very much the police has to take responsibility of, in terms of rebuilding, or not even rebuilding, I don't even know if there was ever trust, but to establish this trust between the public and the police. And because, you know, there is this lack of accountability that, you know, police officers can blatantly ask you for a bribe in front of their colleagues, and you know nothing will happen to them. I think that also just, you know, makes you feel antagonistic towards something that actually should be, you know, it's part of law and order. And, you know, it's something they have to do, that a shift on their side in terms of changing the behaviors and the perceptions of the public by making sure that, you know, they also go about it in a transparent way. But you know what's the flip side to that as well? Yes, the police are very corrupt, and nobody's denying that. But I think also as the public, there's certain people amongst us, and this has become quite cultural, who exploit that.
Absolutely.
Who exploit this for their own benefit.
100%.
So they know, I mean, if you're driving without your driver's license, or if your vehicle registration is, you know, expired, you know you can just get away with it. So there's
absolutely
also a sort
right.
of sense within the public that there's not really much of a shift to want to address it, because it's convenient for us, you know, so that we avoid consequences.
Absolutely.
And that, I think, is also problematic.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I really do need to leave it there. It is 9 o'clock. They're going to throw me out of studio in just about in T-minus 30 seconds. So I do apologize for cutting you short, but a very, very interesting conversation, and a very important one. Kavisha Pillay, Head of Stakeholder and Campaigns at Corruption Watch.